Didn't think we'd have much Hawk news to talk about tonight. And then they went out and they made a couple of signings. So let's find out who your newest Atlanta Hawks are, and then we'll talk some dogs as well with our good buddy Caleb Johnson, reporter for both of those squads right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Caleb, let's start with our Hawks here. I saw the name, which I'm not going to butcher, so I'll let you do that. First player from the G League who averaged 15 last year. Seems like a really good deal. And then I saw, like, the analytics NBA crowd, my buddy Keith Smith and guys from the Twitter sphere talking about what a steal this was for Ansi Salleh and how his great summer run has continued. So give us a skinny on all that. What have the Hawks been up to?
Yeah, so Nafali Dante is his name, and he is a 6'11" center who has been on a two-way contract with the Houston Rockets. This has been somebody that essentially is in development mode. You know, it's just one of those. There's a lot of young guys that are kind of coming up and need to get that extra development. I mean, we've seen it from guys like Jalen Johnson, who had the opportunity to do so. And then you even think of a guy like Mo Gay, who has clearly used the G League to his benefit. And you mentioned kind of the, you know, what Keith Smith talked about on Twitter. The savviness of this deal is what really blew me away, because you are not alone, and a lot of people saw the name and were like, huh, okay, number one, I don't know how to pronounce it, and number two, never heard of the guy. And that's okay, because like I said, he's, you know, played for like a cup of coffee in Houston. Otherwise, he's been spending time in the G League. The reason why this is a big deal is because this is the first time that the NBA has had a team offer or send out an offer sheet to a player who is on a two-way contract, because you have unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents. When you have restricted free agents, you can send out an offer sheet that the team who holds their bird rights, who has, you know, can essentially has the best opportunity to sign them, can match that offer. We saw a similar deal a few years back with Bogey Bogdanovich, as the Sacramento Kings held his bird rights, and, you know, they could match whatever deal that the Hawks had to offer, but ultimately they let him go and he ends up with the Hawks. You find yourself in a position now where the reason why this is business savvy is Nafali Dante was offered a contract from Atlanta of 2 years and $4.5 million. If you know about Houston's current situation financially, they are very, very close to the second apron of the luxury tax. That's because they went in big on the Kevin Durant trade. They are trying to win now. And so, sure, they still need to fill out a roster, but they were not in a financial position to be able to match Atlanta's contract of $4.5 million over 2 years. This is, and it's funny, I was talking to our boss Mike Conti about this earlier today. This is where you see Ansi Salleh's, the fact that he was a cap analyst, and this is how he kind of got his start in the NBA. You know, he was a lawyer, so he looked into like the legalese of all of these things, studying contracts and all of that. This is what Ansi finds to be fun. And so what is one of the fun things? Oh, well, let me capitalize on a position of need, which is the center position for Atlanta, and do it in a way where I can get it done cheaply, and I can get it done where I know that the team that he's coming from can't really do anything about it. So all of this is just, it's just another way of going, man, I mean, Ansi has not been on the job very long, and yet add this to the list of this offseason moves where you go, okay, is that singular move going to win a championship? No. But are all of these moves adding up to make the Atlanta Hawks better now and in the future? Yes. And that's exactly what you're looking for. Like, that's what you want to be doing. You know, when you're Tony Ressler and you're hiring people who put your team in the best position to win.
Same question about forward Caleb. Is it Houston or Houston?
It's Houston.
Okay, Houston. Yeah, it's Houston. Caleb Houston.
Just spelled a little bit differently. This is an interesting one because it was funny. If you were like a super nerdy Hawks fan that, you know, gets on Reddit threads or that stays on Twitter a whole lot, there were conspiracy theories going out about Caleb Houston because we learned weeks ago that this was going to take place, that the Hawks were interested in signing Caleb Houston, who is a former Orlando Magic player that kind of once again spent a lot of time in the G League, not as much time as Nafali Dante did, but is still in his development years because this is what the Hawks want to do. They want to be young and develop their talent. In fact, just kind of as a side note, like Kristaps Porzingis and Luke Kennard are the only players, I believe, over the age of 26, and they're both on one-year deals. So that kind of tells you how Ansi wants to build this roster. He wants to do it young. And getting a guy like Caleb Houston who helps you out at another position that you were a bit thin at, because a lot of people were wondering, hey, you know, when Zachary Risacher is off the floor, how are the Hawks going to handle the three position? Because it seems like you would either have to have someone play up in size from the two or play down from the four because just of how this roster is put together and kind of who you have available. Caleb Houston helps out with that. Is he going to be used a ton throughout the entire season? No, probably not. Definitely still a development role. As he is someone who shoots the three ball insanely well. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, I think I saw this correctly, after the All-Star break last year, he shot 51% from three the rest of the way. So shoots the three ball really well, and that's certainly something that Ansi Salehe finds important and wants to continue to grow on. He's also really good in the steals category, so that's something to kind of help out this team as well. So it's once again, it's another savvy move that the conspiracy theories were about whether or not the Hawks wanted to leave an open roster spot in order to, hey, maybe somebody comes across our attention that we didn't think was going to be available and we can snag that player. Well, either they don't think that's going to happen or they feel confident enough and Caleb Houston joining this team, so much so that they're out of roster spots. You have 18 players on this roster right now between the 15, that are on the team and then the 3 2-ways.
So another interesting move today happened in the NBA. Just sort of reflect for me on the career of John Wall, one of the great could-have-beens in the NBA, decided to hang it up today.
Yeah, it's funny. When guys like this call it a career, it's usually a year after they actually called it a career, because this was obviously heading this way for quite some time for John Wall, who, as you mentioned, a big time what if had injuries not played such a factor in his career. And then also, I mean, just the Wizards. That was kind of one of those. He could only play with who the team put around him, and felt like most of the time, of course, across his career, that it wasn't a very good team, as those Wizards teams didn't advance very far.
Marcin Gortat would like a word, Caleb.
Okay. Sure. Like, it's one of those that's, who am I thinking of? Oh, you know who I thought, when you say Gortat, I think of Ilgauskas, who played with LeBron in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, the Cavs, LaDrunas Ilgauskas, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, those are the guys where at the time that they're playing, you know, when they're playing with a guy like John Wall or Ilgauskas playing with LeBron, you talk about how good they are and the skill sets that they have that help a young star kind of, you know, perform. And then when that player leaves that situation or, retires or whatever, then you're like, man, I mean – just you needed so much more than that. And clearly, like, LeBron needed to leave that situation in order to eventually go win a championship and all of those sorts of things. So, I think John Wall, I'm very interested because he's tried to do the whole, hey, let me weigh in on, you know, the game of basketball after my career. And I don't know that I'm the biggest fan of that sort of a thing. Maybe he's not quite as bad as Gilbert Arenas, but for his playing career, definitely was someone who, I mean, surely gave the Hawks fits a ton of different times. And in fact, like, I remember, because to age myself, like, those days were when I was, you know, in high school and early college, and it was certainly annoying for, you know, John Wall and Bradley Beal being pest to Atlanta, especially in the postseason and that sort of thing. But, you know, had a great career. And like I said, I mean, it's been over. I don't think he's played since 2023. So he's been retired for a while. He just makes it official now.
We switch our coverage now to Athens, where, Caleb, it's an annual tradition, but I think it may have a little bit more merit this season given the roster turnover. But Kirby, after their second scrimmage, none too thrilled, especially with the defensive line.
It's funny, Chris. I was having this same conversation with Steak this morning when we were talking about Georgia Tech Brinke was talking about this. I did Sports Extra with Maria Martin over the weekend, and we were talking about, like, Brinke came to the podium and he was talking about how sorry his team is and how they really got to step up and how there was, you know, just so much disappointment that he has right now, and they've got to get a lot better if they're going to be any good this year. And those are the types of things that you want to hear from your head coach, because if your coach is going to the media and trying to convince the media how good your team actually is, especially if you're Georgia, that is when I would be very, very, very concerned. Now, granted, in the same respect, Kirby Smart has a lot of reason to be very nervous about the season and feel like his team is behind. He's been one who has talked about one of the things that the transfer portal hurts is he doesn't have near the level of depth that he's had in times past, where you could lose a five-star on the offensive line and turn to another five-star. You could lose a five-star running back and turn to another five-star running back. And now it's getting a little murkier of how you handle these roster decisions and how you keep players happy and keep them around. And then you have a schedule where, yes, thankfully it's at home, but you play Alabama, you play Ole Miss at home, you know, you get Texas this year, and then you end your season with clearly a Georgia Tech team that people are really high on and expect a lot out of because they have veterans in, you know, Haynes King and Jamal Hayes out of the backfield that Georgia doesn't have. Georgia doesn't have that veteran leadership, and they're going to have to find it along the way. And the thing that they're lucky to have is Marshall and Austin Peay as their first two opponents before they have to face Tennessee.
All right, before I let you go, the Gunner Stockton confidence meter has been wavering all off season long. Now that we're just a couple of days away from actually things getting started, where do you stand on where you think the pulse is on him heading into week one?
Man, this is the deciding factor of the season, I think. Like, not to be dramatic, but to be dramatic, is how good Gunner is. Because if he lives up to the potential that's certainly there, that was why he was so highly touted coming out of high school, then you feel pretty comfortable about what Georgia can put together. Because there's still a running team, and so there are going to be that factor, and man, do they have just a workhorse after workhorse coming out of the backfield in order to play alongside Gunner. And he's got weapons this year that, frankly, Carson Beck has not had in times past, at least the last couple of seasons, ever since Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey left. And so that's, like, Gunner is the one question mark element of all of this, where if you mess up and you have a bad game against Tennessee week three, then there are question marks heading into Alabama of, do you go to Ryan Pugliese or can Gunnar find himself and get this thing on track? Because I mean, then you lose another. You know, if you were to lose another one, like it could really spin out of control pretty quickly, all based around how comfortable Gunnar is. We saw him against Notre Dame, and I just felt like the lights were a little bit too bright, but it was also just a really impossible situation that wasn't helped by his receiving corps, who dropped big-time passes in big moments in that game. And he just, like, he held it together in against Texas, and that was as much as you kind of have seen out of him. I still have the confidence. I like the fact that Georgia, for the first time since Stetson Bennett, is going to have a quarterback who can run around and do some things in that element. And they'll actually trust Gunnar to do more of that than they ever did Stetson, because, you know, obviously, like, the five-star versus the walk-on and all of that. So that is to say, I am cautiously optimistic about Gunnar. I need to see it in person. If the lights are too bright at 3:30 against Marshall next weekend, I'll be very concerned. But if he can handle that pretty comfortably, then maybe by week three, when you get to Tennessee, you'll feel pretty comfortable in what Gunnar Stockton can do.
Great stuff, Caleb. Appreciate you as always. We'll check you out on Twitter, ATLJohnson18, for all the latest on the Hawks and the Dogs. We'll chat next week.
All right. Sounds good, man.